Revelation chapter 21, continuing from what we read earlier in verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve it. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign there forever and ever. What a glorious scene is depicted throughout these verses. And it should bring a smile on everybody's face to read about that and the glory of the new heaven that we have awaiting for us. It would be too easy after reading a verse like that and reading just of the glory of heaven, how great it's going to be. It should leave a smile on everybody's face. Talking about the glory of God illuminating the heavens. Talking about a gift that is indescribable, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9 and in verse 15. Such a great gift that we have that is simply indescribable. Just given these brief passages that depict its greatness, nothing can and should make us happier as Christians to read about how great that is going to be. One of the jobs of the preacher is to not make everybody smile always and leave with that happy bubbly feeling in their stomachs of what we just read though, but to make sure that they stay on that path or get on the path so that they can read, so that way they can reach what we just read about. One way that we can reach that home of heaven is if we remember that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For if we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. This is not our permanent home here on earth. We have something so much bigger waiting for us if we live righteously. Our bodies is just a tent, a temporary home while we live on this world. So do not become attached to the things of this world or our body. That is one thing that we've been discussing in the Bible class on Sunday morning. That although we may be forced to live here on this earth filled with wicked people, doesn't mean we have to be of it. We can and should be different. But our main purpose is to live for God each and every day. Over in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And in verse 8, reads, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord." Live or die. It doesn't even matter because we are the Lord's. We are so blessed to be made in the image of God, as it mentions in Genesis 1, verse 26. I mean, God took the time to create each and every one of us. He expects that we do everything for Him, that giving Him the glory in all things that we do here on earth. Easy, though, to get caught up in other things, isn't it, though? The activities in the world that we have, because we're so busy in those other things that we sometimes forget about God. Sometimes we can become callous to how we're living our lives and the sin that we may even be encountering. Over in the verse we read in class, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they were callous to the sin that they were living in. We sometimes assume that how we are living our lives is correctly. We try and make sure that we are avoiding sin in our everyday lives. Away from church and in the world, it's so easy to forget about our worship service here at church itself. How many times do we think about how acceptable our worship here at service is to God? The word worship, what does that word mean to you? Well, according to the dictionary, it is defined as a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration to a deity. In our case, that is God. Do we do just that when we come to worship? This is a time that we have to worship our Creator, the very person who created us in His image. This is such an uplifting time. A time where we as Christians can find comfort and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. A chance where we have to get away from this wicked world that we live in with people that don't believe the same things that we do. Time that should be looked forward to. Something that we shouldn't let excuses come up with in our lives for missing out on this opportunity to show our humility and love for the Lord. It truly is a foretaste of glory divine to be here. A tiny glimpse of what heaven will be like, being able to glorify our Creator continuously. Yet we come up with the simplest of excuses and justifications with ourselves to miss out on this spiritually rejuvenating opportunity. Why? I want us to think about something by looking over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. One major aspect of being a Christian is that we are commanded to grow. Just because you've been a Christian for however many years doesn't mean you know everything there is to know about God's Word. Nobody can know that everything that's in the Bible. That's why we have to come here every chance we have to grow as Christians. And become stronger Christians. But if you are not here to study and learn with everybody else, how are you going to learn? How are you going to grow as a Christian? Oh, on your own time? If we can't even get our priorities straight to make it to church, then it is going to be that much harder to study God's Word on our own time, away from church, in our such hectic lives that we live in. As Christians, we are also commanded to be at church as well. This is not something that's a man-made idea. It's something that is in God's inspired word. Something that can be commonly overlooked, but should not be by any means. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Two things are commanded to us in this verse. The first being that we are supposed to stir up one another in good works, in love and good works. Be a source of encouragement to one another when you're here at church. Talking to our members that are here and getting to know one another and seeing what you can do to help them out in our Christian walks. Then the writer of Hebrews mentions something very important after that, saying that if we are not at church to stir up one another in love and in good works, then we do what is warned of us in verse 25. We then forsake the assembly of God, because we are commanded to assemble with the saints. And that's what happens when we miss making a choice of preference to something of this world before coming to serve and worship God. We fall guilty of forsaking the assembly of God. And the seriousness of this is shown in verse 26, that if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, we then face that fiery indignation it talks about in verse 27. In other words, if you know what is good and do not do it, it is sin. And that's pointed out in James 4:17. If you know that you need to be here, and you aren't for a preference that has been made beforehand, for something that is more important, that you have made more important than God, then that is sin and going against something that we are commanded to do. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as it says in verse 31 of this same chapter in Hebrews. As well as it is commanded of us to assemble, we should want to be at church in the first place, not dragged here. Over in Psalm chapter 122, Psalm chapter 122, and in verse 1. And I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Are you excited when you have that opportunity to come to church to worship God? Not just because you're being dragged here or forced to come to church. We should be here in high spirits and eager to open up God's word and learn about what is written for us to do. This is such a great opportunity that we have. And that leads me to my main point of, do you really want to be here? Do you really want to be here? Not going to Bible studies on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Just missing Sunday evenings. I went on Sunday mornings, so what's the point? By the time Wednesday night rolls around, I don't really want to go, but I'll just go so they don't call me. Is church really something that you look forward to? Or do you just not look forward to it at all? Because if you don't love being here, or love giving this opportunity to come and praise and worship God, then why are you here? To please somebody else? Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 and verse 10 reads, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Who are you coming for? To please men or God? Because God knows your true motives. And if you really want to be here and serve Him with a sincere heart, God knows. Don't try fooling us members here, because in the end you can't fool God. And truly, He is the only one that matters. Are you here to maybe please us members? Or maybe you're here to please the person next to you. Don't be here because you are trying to please a certain person or people. But be here because you want to be here. And you care about your relationship with God and where you are going to spend your eternity. If you don't like church, then what makes you think you're going to like heaven? Church is one of the closest things on heaven, I mean on earth, that we have to heaven. To escape this world and gather together with Christians of like precious faith to praise and glorify God. Which is what we're going to be doing in heaven. God created us in His image to praise Him and to do His will. And when you are commanded to assemble on the first day of the week, when the saints have put together that time for that to occur, and you aren't here or don't want to be, we fall guilty of forsaking the assembly of God, as we read earlier. You can say, I really want to be here, but the second you say but is the second you're simply making an excuse. Because of we have been talking about on our Bible class on Sunday mornings as well, I'm sure. Most people that have been in that class have this quote memorized by now, but your actions express your priorities. And if you want God to be number one in your life, that if you truly want Him to be number one in your life, you will find a way to make that possible. I guarantee it. I preach this sermon not to nag everyone here about the number of people that we have, because that's not what I'm trying to get across. As nice as that would be, that's not what I'm trying to get at. If so, it'd be easy. We could do what other churches are doing, get a band and give away free food. But no, that's not the point. But instead, it's about working with the members that we have here in this local church and making the most out of it in our service to God. Making sure that everyone here is as strong as a Christian as you can be. Not wavering in the faith. Showing up at church shows God and everyone here that you are trying to do your best, stay faithful to God and follow after Him. And when you aren't at church and let other material matters become more important, that's second you forget about God. Because if you sincerely cared about Him, you would know how important it is that you be at services to fulfill your Christianly duties. It's so hard to edify one another in psalms and songs of praise by yourself. You have to be here, and you need to have that zeal and desire to be here, to want to come and serve God. Look over in Revelation again. Revelation chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. We are His servants, and we are going to serve Him in heaven, as well as we should be doing here on earth. And if we can't even find the time to serve Him on earth, what makes us worthy of heaven? For that reason alone, we should stay on the path to get to heaven. And the best way of doing that is showing up here and not growing weary in the faith. Staying faithful to Him every day and not becoming stagnant. Over in Galatians again. This time in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary for while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. We cannot grow weary and tired in the faith. One way to do that is by showing up to church at every opportunity, every time those doors are open. What better way to not get bogged down with the cares of this world than to show up to church at every chance you can, to be revitalized in the Spirit and refreshed, doing good to all so that they can see, being able to see and spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a great opportunity. And we also need to be dedicated unto the Lord. Always be dedicated unto the Lord, as it says in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. First off, look back at verse 1. It shows that dedication that we should have unto the Lord. We should present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, so that others of the world may see Christ living in us. And more importantly, that we live acceptable to God's word, so that we may be worthy of that home in heaven someday. Then it goes on to explain that many members make up the body of the church, not just one member who does all the work. It's so easy we get caught up in the mentality of Jeff will do it. Mr. Jeff will take care of it. No, each member here has a duty and a role to fulfill. It's not just one person that makes up a church, but every single member. The members make up the body of the church. Even if you don't think you're able to teach a class or give a sermon, you can still do your part by first off showing up to services and being an encouragement and source of strength to other members. And you can't do that if you're not even showing up, though. Because when you're not here, you could do just the opposite of encouraging them. You could be discouraging the members that meet here as well. Acts 28. Acts 28, and in verse 15, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Paul, as it says in this verse, was encouraged when he saw the other people came to hear him speak when he was in Rome. And coming from Appii Forum was roughly a 100-mile journey. And at that time, that was a very, very lengthy journey. And the exact opposite of that can happen to us members when you don't show up. It's very discouraging sometimes to go from 40 on a Sunday morning to barely 20 on a Sunday night. Each member of the church has a role to play. And when you don't fill that role, it affects everyone here, especially in a smaller congregation as ours. We need to be here to strengthen every single one of us that's here, every single one of us members. In the short talk that Brother Gary did a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, so that way we can keep each other accountable to one another, checking up on our brothers and sisters in Christ, making sure that they are not growing weary in the faith, but strong Christians. Look in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. With this sermon, I'm not trying to discourage anyone by any means, but more so to remind you that we have something that is so indescribable that awaits for us and gives us hope and is something that we should look forward to every day. It is reserved for us, nor does it fade away. That is why we have to make sure we are doing what is right now, so that we may attain it. So that way we can reach that home in heaven someday. Church, worship service, it should be something that builds us up and something that we look forward to. A time where we can show respect and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Church should not be something that causes us to lose that prize of heaven someday because we didn't see the importance of coming. We're always brainstorming ways to get our members here to show up on a regular basis. But it really boils down to you. In every choice in life, you have an option. And it is up to you now whether you are going to serve God and fulfill your Christian duties to the members here, to yourself, and most importantly, God. So that is my question for you today. Do you really want to be here? It is time that we let our actions do the talking in our lives. Keeping our eyes locked on heaven above. Getting and keeping our priorities straight. So that we may put God first in every aspect of our lives. So that we may hear someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As it says in Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. I long to hear those words. In a second, we are going to sing "Our God, He is Alive." And as we sing that song, I ask that you really look at the lyrics to that song. And you sing it with sincerity unto God, because there is a God and He is alive. And that is our chance now, that we get to praise Him and lift up our voices in song. Let us not take for granted this time or make light of it, but instead humble ourselves and lift up our voices to God, the great I Am. Now at this time, maybe your priorities have not been straight. You have not been living in a way that a Christian should. Or maybe you are yet to become a Christian, you have a chance to do so now. Please don't hesitate. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.